Okay, turn to page 149. Is this yours or mine? Good. It's a new thing. All right, page 149, and top of the page. When we are born, the third and fourth floors of your prefrontal right cortex are not built yet. Remember, we talked about first floor, second floor, third and fourth. Most of the major growth of the right brain is finished by 18 months of age. Our brains must be trained as it grows. If we are to have a mature fourth floor where executive function occurs, we must have a strong third floor. Most of our troubles are a result of defects on the third floor where we learn to attune relationally. The third floor was built during the first 6 months of life. Isn't that something? So the third floor is where you learn how to attune to people. And that floor, that part of your brain is established and grown as an infant. When that infant has caretakers who are emotionally present, relationally present, they meet the needs of that infant. When that baby cries, that mother is there to find out why is the baby crying and to do whatever it takes to bring that baby back to joy, back to peace. So that's what builds that third floor. It's called attunement. Now, you can develop that at any age, thankfully. Thank you, Lord, right? But, boy, it sure helps if you learn it as an infant. The right orbital prefrontal cortex is what we're going to talk about now. Protecting what we value is the function of the right orbital prefrontal cortex, which is the last part of the brain to develop. Its purpose is to grow a joyful identity for us and for our people. This is the part of our brain where gentle protector leadership is grown and trained. It is the role of a mature identity. So that's the last part to grow, and you are constantly training and maturing that part of your brain as a gentle protector leader. Let's read this slide. I went the wrong way. A well-trained fast track operates in a protective, life-giving way to the attachments it forms. A poorly trained master system tends to be predatory, defensive, fear-bound, and selfish. So your master system is that executive fourth floor master system in your brain. So when you find yourself being critical, judgmental, mean, etc., defensive is another huge indicator, or fear-bound, where fear's controlling your decisions or your actions, or you're being selfish, that is an indicator that your right orbital prefrontal cortex is not as mature as it should be. And we all have room to grow. And we all are supposed to keep growing. And you can grow and mature that part of your brain, but you can also let that go. What's the word? You can let it get dormant. You can let it deteriorate. That's the word I'm looking for. By your choices and your actions. Gentle protector responses are all learned, and you don't learn them through a book. You learn them from observing and being with people. Those of you who are introverts and appreciate your isolation, that's good and okay to a point. But to learn to be a gentle protector, it's going to take community. It's going to take people. That's how Yahweh designed all of our brains, whether you're extrovert or introverted. These general protective responses are quite advanced. Predatory responses are wired into our brains at birth, and they are simplistic and fast. You don't even have to stop and think about how to be predatory in your actions, how to be selfish, how to be self-centered, unless you've fully matured and you're love-based, not fear-based, and you're right, then that won't be true. If your mind has been renewed and you have the mind of Christ, both gentle protector and predatory responses are determined by how you respond to weakness. So you might respond to one person, like Lisa might respond to Melissa with gentle protector responses because she really likes her, she enjoys her, she whatever. But she might not like Jim Bob over here. And so she might be real defensive, and when Jim Bob does something, not Yeshua in the walk in there, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Jim Bob right there. Jim Bob. Then she might respond to Jim Bob with predatory responses. And if so, they'll be easy, fast, simple. She won't even have to think about it. That's how our brains. Thanks to Adam and Eve, that's why we have wired into our brains at birth predatory responses because of the fall. That sin entered Adam and Eve's physical bodies and their mind, will, and emotions, and their spirit, killed their spirit, caused their minds, will, and emotions to become earthbound, to contain knowledge and self. Because that tree, that choice was all about self, 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 self. So that's why it's there at birth. So you determine, by the way you respond to people is going to let you know whether you're operating as a gentle protector or as a predator. So you can judge the fruit of your own life. When I did so-and-so, when I responded this way, oh my, Lord, I was responding as a predator. And you know what we need to do with that, right? We first clean it up with the Lord and then clean it up with the people who saw that. Remember what I've been saying about your brain needs to see? It needs to see. It needs to see, especially your right prefrontal cortex. It's looking for images and actions, and it's watching people constantly. Left brain, not as much. Left brain's listening. It's watching, but it's listening. That's why I have a personal opinion, the culture of honor that we've worked really hard and still are working at, developing here on our farm, family. I believe that it's critical that if we act as a predatory person, we have predatory actions, and whoever saw that behavior, especially if you're a leader, if you're on staff here, and if 10 people saw it, 10 people need to hear and see you come back and clean it up. And if one person, then one. If nobody saw it, then it's just you and the Lord. Because of this reality of our brains are watching constantly. And your right brain, if it's a leader, your right brain is going to tell you, well, she did it. She's on staff. So I can do it too. And you won't even hear the words because it's not verbal. It's scriptural that we clean up our messes. You know, when you're a baby and you're wearing a diaper. Hi, Jack. When you're wearing a diaper and you're 2 years old, somebody else cleans up your messes, and that's appropriate. But if you're 35 years old and you make a mess, it's not appropriate for me to go clean up your diaper and your mess on the floor. It's not. You do it yourself, right? Okay. So how do you respond when someone upsets you? or someone offends you, or someone rejects you, or overlooks you, or speaks badly about you, or doesn't treat you the way you want to be treated? How do you speak to people who hurt, offend, ignore, or overlook you? Your response to people and situations are what determine if you're responding as a mature, gentle protector or as a vindictive predator. Let's look at, read this one. Our slow track brain can analyze information about Yeshua's life and be inspired by it, but by itself, the slow track cannot change our identity. That means that the words that you're hearing or reading in and of themselves will have very little impact on your identity. Now, if you're reading the scriptures and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit turns that Logos word into a Rhema word, a living voice from Yahweh, from Yeshua, that will have the power to transform your identity because it's a spoken revelation experience. That's why I have found that God encounter sessions are so transformational. Because you are having an experience with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To just sit and read or to have somebody tell you isn't going to have the same impact as it will if you have a living, breathing experience with the living God. And that can change your identity. Simply knowing the truth about Yeshua's godliness doesn't make us godly. We all know that. When we're upset, when we get upset, generally what most often happens is the fast-track brain responds like a predator. While the slow-track, the fast-track, remember, is your right hemisphere where you're relational, and it's going to respond like a predator unless it's been trained. And your left brain is trying to control your reactions so that you can act like a Christian or a respectable human being. And that's often how it works. Unless your mind has been renewed, you have the mind of Christ, you've learned the 18 relational skills, and have a mature, gentle protector brain. And the good news is you can actually train your brain to respond like a gentle protector. And that's called surrender, 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 humble, 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 or get humiliated. That's what it takes. Because predatory responses are wired into our brain, they will never go away until we're dead or the Lord comes back. Then we get free. Yeah, the solution is, here it is. The solution is not to suppress predatory thoughts. You hear those thoughts that, oh man, I just want to shake her and stomp on her on the ground. Not really. I don't think that way. But let's just say that's what you're thinking. And you go, oh, no, I can't think that way. Stop it, stop it, stop it. No. The better way is to find a better response to that person, whatever they did. And find that in yourself and look for it in other people. And that is done by developing a strong sense of how I and my people, my kind of people, respond to the weaknesses of others. Change, get your identity changed. As for me and my house, we're going to love our enemies. That says it really clearly. And I changed that verse, you know, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Same thing, right? It's only more explicit. So that is what you want hardwired into your brain. Make that a habit so that it operates 200 times faster than your predatory brain up here. That's how you overcome your flesh, and is by putting in the truth. And the truth is, As for me and my house, we're going to love our enemies. I'm going to love you no matter how you treat me, no matter what you say to me, no matter, I'm going to love you. And your brain doesn't particularly favor negative commands. For example, the best is what I just said. No matter what happens, I'm going to love you. That's positive. The opposite would be, no matter what happens, I will not get mad at you. Your brain has to stop when you tell it that. It has to stop and say, what? I will not hit you in the face. So your brain sees you hitting that person in the face first. Then it says, wait, it said, doesn't want to do that. Okay, so what do we want to do? I don't know. My brain didn't tell me. What is it you want exactly? Okay, and then you just picture yourself putting your hands behind your back or something. You see why that's a little not as clear for our brains. But if you say, no matter, as for me and my house, I'm going to love you, your brain's got it, just like that. And you do that 30, 60 days. And you do it over and over and over. Write it on your mirror. Write it on your hand. Write it on your notebook. Write it in your Bible, piece of paper in your Bible. Plate on your refrigerator, wherever, so that you're seeing it, saying it, letting yourself see it. If you've got somebody that is a grace person in your life, that you love them, but you don't love them like you know it'd be best to love them kind of thing. Begin to see that, you loving that person, and when you're with them, saying it inside, and et cetera, et cetera. Do the work, like Johnny said. Do the work. If you do, you'll retrain your brain. You'll reprogram your brain, and your brain will go on autopilot, and you won't have to work at it after 60 days or so. All right, when fear takes over. Every time the fast track runs out of relational joy, the elevator gets stuck at the third floor. When no one agrees with us or wants to join us, we become afraid. And responses to that statement could look like fight, flight, or freeze. When no one agrees with you or wants to join you, you're either going to fight, or you're going to run from them, stay away from them, hide, or you're going to freeze and become paralyzed and do nothing. Your brain only knows two ways to generate motivational fuel, a joy bond or a fear bond, and you decide which one you're going to operate on. You're going to operate on a joy bond. I'm glad to be with you. I'm glad to be with you, Lord. I'm glad to be with wherever you're at. Or are you going to operate out of fear? When I have a joy bond with someone, I look forward to being with him or her. I feel joy just thinking about being with them. However, when the second floor assessment center gets the message that the person I'm bonded to is bad or scary, then fear takes over instead of joy. And I will wear a mask that makes me look the way I need to look in order to get what I want out of the relationship. And that's actually self-centered. Here's what that looks like, and here's the picture here. When fear overtakes joy, the top of page 150, my elevator gets stuck between the second and third floors. That means I am now non-relational, fixated on my problems, waiting for people and or the problem to go away, unable to imagine relational solutions for problems, I'm experiencing negative emotions more intensely than before. The solution is not for leaders to do whatever makes them happy, quite the opposite, actually. When fear is the dominant motivation for any group, the group will become toxic. When any leader is motivated by fear, he or she will burn out and spread dysfunction in his or her group over time. The important point is how we solve problems. Will we solve them relationally, creatively, or as a group? Or will we solve them in isolation, avoiding shame and any perception of failure, while hiding behind a mask that makes us look good? And it's obvious there that the best way to solve problems is relationally, creatively, and as a group. I used to be quite introverted, extremely so. I had, my limit was about two people, and generally they had to be really close friends or family. And then I got to where I could handle about five people at a time, and depending on. But it's just been amazing to me to watch as the Lord's healed me, spirit, soul, and body, and taken more possession of me, how I am such a team player now. I mean, the more the merrier, you know, bring it on. And when we're especially in a situation that we need to make a decision, let's get together. Let's not just do the one or two people. But I so appreciate the value of teamwork. And Toby says all the time, teamwork is dream work. And he's taught me well, Toby, right? So it really is the best way. So if you're trying to do your life in isolation, it's going to be very difficult. Especially if you're trying to solve a problem or trying to accomplish something that affects the community, especially, you better get it community-based. Okay? A fast-track system produces isolation to the degree it was trained in isolation. So if your right hemisphere was trained in isolation, then it's going to produce that. A person may feel isolated in a crowded room. The way to know if isolation is present in a group is by the joy levels, glad to be together, in the group. If that group is together and people aren't really glad to be together, you got isolation operating in that group. Somebody somewhere, or more than one, has created that dynamic in the group. The higher the joy level when a group gathers for a task, the lower the isolation level will be felt in the group. And I think we all, I think we've all probably experienced that, like when you're in a group together and let's say you've been looking forward to this and you're together, and then when you show up for the gathering, somebody shows up and they don't want to be there. And they're not glad to be there. And sometimes they say it, sometimes they don't have to say it, their body says it. And it's to me, it's so interesting to watch that dynamic. And if that group is mature enough and strong enough in their identity and their joy capacity, then often that group dynamic of 10 people glad to be together and one isn't can often help that one come in and be glad to be with them. I've seen it. I've seen it where it didn't work that way. I've seen it where it swayed the whole group and, you know, it just went kind of. So it's a powerful dynamic. And the reason is, one of the reasons is because I believe it's spiritual sometimes. And sometimes, and all the time, every brain in that group is reading everybody else's brain. And believe me, they know when Billy Bob isn't glad to be there. And so what that says to them is, you don't want to be with me. That statement alone can shut people's attunement, the right prefrontal cortex, shut it down, depending on where they're at. If they're in a, I kind of want to be here, but I kind of don't, but I do, but then they're liable to take a nosedive. I mean, it's an interesting dynamic. And when you don't feel like somebody's glad to be with you, generally, unless you're really healthy and strong, maturity level, otherwise you're going to feel shame. It produces shame. That's the fruit of it. If I don't believe Colleen is glad to be with me, my first inside brain right here is going to tell me, what's wrong with me? She doesn't want to be with me. And I know that's not true. So, but if I believed it, oh my goodness, look at her body language. Don't look at your body language. Your body language is telling me you're so glad to be here. I can't find anybody in here that's not telling me they're not glad to be here. That would do it. Yeah, that would do it. So, and that creates this dynamic of shame because there's something wrong with me. Remember, shame tells you there's something wrong with you. You believe it, and it may not be true. Might be something wrong with them. So that's a really important thing. I think it's really helpful if you're part of a group and for whatever reason, maybe you're not feeling well, whatever, and you come into that group, that you're honest and upfront. I'm having a bad hair day today, or I don't feel very good, or I am so exhausted that it took everything I had to get here. But you know what? You're so important to me that I came. You say that, and it doesn't leave any room for shame in the group, and people understand and can come around rather than thinking, oh my goodness, what have I done, right? So, the higher the joy level when a group gathers for a task, the lower the isolation level will be felt in the group. So the more you can communicate, I'm so glad to be with you, the better. Bottom line, that's what I'm saying. The more you can communicate, mostly by your body language, because remember, your words count for very little, but your body language screams and yells and blows a trumpet at everybody. The more you can express that, the better everybody will be, yourself included. You'll feel much better. As a leader, when we recognize low joy levels in our people, if our reaction is to connect and attune to the group, then joy levels will rise. If we get stuck in frustration or irritation, we will most likely find ways and suggestions to manage the wasted time, and joy levels will take a nosedive. So frustration and irritation is no bueno. Nope. All right, let's test your fast track system's function. This is the big kahuna in your right prefrontal cortex. It's the one that calls the shots. The executive function, that fourth floor fast track system, can shut down because of fatigue, stress, depression, or just because you feel overwhelmed. Drugs will shut it down. Our brains will quickly slam the door shut anytime it sees someone who upsets us or when we hear about a problem that we don't want to look at. That's what your fourth floor does. We won't even realize that our fast track system has shut down unless we test it. If my fast track system is operational, then I will feel curiosity. You can ask yourself, am I really interested in what others are thinking or saying? Or am I busy rehearsing my responses or options? If you find yourself listening to somebody and you're contemplating how you're going to respond, you got a problem right there. You're not attuning. You're thinking about yourself, and your right fourth floor is probably not operating. If it's operating, you will view the relationship as bigger than the problem. Am I thinking about how this event will strengthen our relationship? Or is my focus on how to solve the problem or make it stop or how to correct this person, right? Number three, I won't feel alone. If my fast track system is operational, I won't feel alone. Am I able to remember the people who would be at my side even when they're not available and I feel encouraged? So when I'm in an emotionally upset situation, and in that moment, do I feel alone or do I remember, wait a minute, I got a whole group of people that loves me and will be here with me and I'm going to be okay. If you can feel that, then your master track system is probably operating. I will feel appreciation in that situation where you're being tested or you're being challenged or whatever it might be. Are you able to enjoy smelling the roses and feel appreciation? Are you able to look at this situation, even though it's painful, even though you don't like it, and say, thank you, Lord, because blah, 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 blah. I'm alive. My heart's beating. This person I know loves me. They just don't know what they're saying right now. They don't know what they're doing, et cetera, et cetera. Do you have a sense of shalom? Am I able to perceive the underlying shalom, that calm? Shalom is everything is good and right and in its place. Am I confident that I will know or figure out how to handle this situation well? And if you have that sense of it's going to be all right, I'm going to get through it, we're going to work this out, then you will feel that sense of shalom. If all of those five things are operating, or three of them, then your right prefrontal cortex is probably online. The better trained and stronger our executive brain has become, the better able we are to keep the executive functions working well during times of upset, stress, and problems. And that's the thing we have to remember, is that this takes training, and the training comes by living in a community and the weak and the strong doing life together, and the strong recognizing that they have weak areas that the weak can help them in, and the weak recognizing that they have weak areas and strong areas that can help the strong, etc. And you both respond to weakness with loving kindness. And sometimes that loving kindness hurts. Yeah, Colleen.
Well, 2 and 5, in my mind, seem to be kind of contradictory to each other. Or is it a timing thing?
Why is it contradictory? I don't see it.
Well, because it says, you know, you're thinking about the relationship, and then 5 says, I will know how to figure it out. So at some point, you got to get off the relationship and get to the problem.
Absolutely, but remember, the relationship's more important, so it comes first.
Okay.
And then your left brain is where you're going to mostly solve the problem. So your right brain's going to take all that information and bring it over to your left brain, and your left brain will say, oh, okay, the relationship's more important to you, so here's how we can do this.
But sometimes in a genuine right now emergency, I don't think my brain would be able to go there. I mean, sometimes you have to just get to the problem In my job, that would have happened quite a bit.
Right.
My old job.
But think about it. Your old job, your number one priority was always to keep that patient alive.
Yes.
You were always thinking about that person first.
True.
Secondly, doing XYZ.
Okay.
Always to keep that patient alive.
Okay.
So you were doing it.
Okay.
And remember, the right brain, you're not aware of. It's not conscious.
Yeah.
It's autopilot. Your left brain, you're aware of. Oh, I got to do this, this, and this. Oh, they've stopped breathing. Do, 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 do. Right?
Right.
So you were doing it.
Okay. And then later on, I would think, oh, no, we're not losing that one.
Yeah. Exactly. And so you just take that same thing you did in the operating room, and you do it out in the garden, and you do it on the farm, and you do it with your friends now. You just take that same principle. Oh, I'm not losing that one because I love them. I care about them. Yep, very good. That's a great analogy. Okay. All right, signs that your slow track is running. So we just talked about testing your fast track. Now we're going to look at what it looks like. Because if your fast track is not running, guess what's running? Your slow track. Right? Lord help us. He is. All right, let's read this slide. When operating alone, the slow track manager blames, shames, explains, defends, or solves the problem using whatever makes sense at the moment. When others don't agree, the leader or the person's relational circuits will shut down. When your slow track is running, there's several patterns that you'll see. Increasing isolation. Increasing attention. And becoming predatory. Okay, so increasing isolation. For example, you think, I'd rather do it myself. Everyone left me alone to do the work. Or, I just work better by myself. It's a lot easier than having to tell five people what to do. That's when your slow track is running, that's how your brain's thinking. Increasing attention is given to mental warnings of negative outcomes. For example, if you don't do this, then such and such will happen. So if your slow track is running, you're going to think of all the reasons why this situation in front of you is not going to turn out the way you want it to. And number three, you can become predatory. This happens when weaknesses are criticized, power actions are used in an unfair or selfish way, and when people look out for number one. So, what do we do? Healing opens the door for building a better system with good relational fast-track habits, but it doesn't suddenly provide the critical, necessary habits that were never learned. So you can get healed, but not have the necessary relational skill habits that you should have learned when you were younger. When we get upset, what most often happens in the fast track brain is we respond like a predator, while the slow track is trying to control the reactions and act like a Christian or a respectable human being. Which we talked about that already. Any questions? Thoughts? Observations? No? All good? Good day? Yeah? Really good day because the Lord showed up, right? That's the best of the best. All right, we're going to stop here, and we'll start tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And tomorrow, last week we totally forgot to take up an offering, and Cindy just reminded me. So we're going to take up an offering, love offering, tomorrow. And if I remember. Oh, wow. So we have a necklace auction. Kelly makes these, hand makes them. They are gorgeous. So we'll auction those off tomorrow as well. And anything else? Tomorrow's Wednesday. Wednesday. Okay. Got it. All right. Y'all have God encounters today? Ladies do. Guys tomorrow, right? Is that today? Today. Men are...